Welcome to Built to Go, a van life podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Wagg, coming to you from the College of Curiosity. Hello, everyone. I am releasing some of the content I made in VanFest. This is a bonus episode. It does not follow the normal format, but it does capture just the joy of everyone being at VanFest. And I interview a few people here about their experiences in van life, and we talk about their rigs and a little bit about cooking and, you know, killing things, all the stuff that comes up in a normal conversation. And look, if you've ever listened to Terry Gross on NPR, I am no Terry Gross. I am not terribly good at interviewing. So don't think this is an in-depth, hard-hitting interview. What this is just a bunch of folks kind of sitting around a campfire situation chatting. And it is indicative of the type of thing that happens at VanFest and other van life gatherings around the country. Speaking of which, I have to run this right away because this event is this weekend. I'm recording this on February 17th and publishing it on February 17th, 2026. This event starts this weekend, February 20th. And
if you just can, in again,
you should go.
Join us at the Schoolie Swarm. And we have a special coupon code for you. This is February 20th through March 2nd in Melrose, Florida. That is not the one that was in California that had a TV show. This one is in Florida. It's just east of Gainesville. And yes, you must like alligators. For more information about this event, go to www.schoolieswarm.com, and the special coupon code is, are you ready? See, this is a secret code just for us VanFest people. I'm probably not supposed to share this with you, but I'm going to anyway. The code is VanFest Special, all one word, VanFest Special, and that'll give you $30 off. So there you go. You're welcome. All right, ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, folks, we're recording live here at VanFest Liftoff 2026. It is actually Florida today as opposed to the Antarctica it was yesterday. I wish I had brought shorts, and I didn't, so I am sitting here with my polka dot umbrella trying to fend off the shade with two lovely women who have interesting stories to tell because they're both van lifers and they're also both truck drivers. Both these women, when they get in their van, they're in their little vehicle. So why don't you guys introduce yourself and say all your socials and all that good stuff.
Hi, how you doing today? It's such an honor to be on this podcast. I've listened for quite some time. Very good content.
My name
is Lakeisha Martin.
Okay.
I am a published author. If you'd like to find some of my books, they are located on Amazon.
And we'll have links in the show notes.
Yes, that's spelled L-A-K-E-E-S-H-A. Mm-hmm. I am an over-the-road truck driver. My IG is Real, R-E-A-L, Queen, Q-U-E-N-N-K-E-E.
It's lots of E's.
Yes, because it's Q-U-E-N-K-E-E.
That's two T's, not three, not one.
E was so nice that my mama done it twice. With that being Queen Key, but that being said, that's also my CB handle.
I am an over-the-road
truck driver for over 31 years.
Channel 19?
Channel 19, well, you know, break 1-9.
Yeah, go to another one when you want to chat.
Right?
Yep.
I also had a podcast called Trucker's Life,
T-R-U-K-E-R-S-L-Y-F-E.
During the pandemic as well.
Oh, yeah.
But what I do here is I am a van lifer, part-time-ish, kind of like warrior of the weekend kind of thing. I go out with my Toyota Sienna that I've fully converted. His name is Sire. Of course, because only a king can carry a queen.
That is true.
And what we do on YouTube is I have a YouTube channel called Making Queen Moves. That's because I'm a queen, I'm a chess player, and I apply a lot of the strategic things that I learned from chess to my everyday life. So it just makes sense to share that with other people that might be inspired to do van life or just get out there and just live your best life. So that's
excellent.
What the channel's about.
And I gotta tell you about her rig here. First off, like I say, minivans are the way to go if you want stealth. This thing is just a maroon minivan. Doesn't, you know, don't think anything of it. It's got tinted windows. Looks like nothing. And then she opens the door, and it is tricked out. She's got the checkerboard floor. She's got red thing. You describe your van real quick. You know how to say it better than me.
Oh, well, basically, it's just my home on wheels. So when you open the door, it goes from being a regular minivan to actually a place where I live in this space and I feel at home.
Yeah.
Everything you have in your home that you need to make you comfortable, I have in my van. I have a refrigerator, freezer. I have a microwave. I have battery power. I have running water. I have a porta potty toilet. I have everything that when I step in that van, I'm perfectly comfortable. Yep. It's decor, of course, is the chessboard black and white checker.
It's cool.
Because I am a chess player and my favorite color is red. So there's a lot of little blinging red curtains and red everything accents all over. And then I have my two checker pillows that are on the seats that have monogrammed on them. Checkmate.
Ah, very nice. She has done the dream here. She's got the vehicle and now she has made it her own. And this is something everybody can do. Let's introduce our next guest here. So go ahead and tell us about yourself and what your rig is like.
I am Carolyn Mitchell, and I've been a trucker for about 13 years. A jack of all trades before that. So, yeah, whatever. I figured out after 4.5 years in an insurance company, I was allergic to paperwork.
Ugh.
And that's when I decided to be, you know, my favorite thing to do was drive. Every day of my life I would drive. And so I said, I'll be a truck driver. That'll be fun. I learned how, because gosh knows I couldn't do it. Couldn't back up a tiny little pop-up camper. But I learned. It works. And I've been doing it for about 13 years. I saw on YouTube one time, somebody sent me a YouTube about this van that was tricked, you know, that was all made up into a house and everything. And I was like, I looked at that, I watched it, I was like, watched it about 20 times, and I sent it out to everybody, and I said, this is my retirement home.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
And then it was only a dream, only a dream. A couple of years later, my mechanics is like, yeah, your SUV's not going to make it through next year's inspection.
Oh.
Start looking, and I started looking at SUVs, and because I can't drive a small car. It's just not possible. So I started looking and I went, oh my gosh, they're expensive.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, how much would it cost to buy a van? And I said, oh, it'll cost like half the price of an SUV. So even if I put $20,000 into it, I'm still cheaper than getting an SUV. And so that's where it began.
Yeah.
And it's I did this right as COVID began, before the van prices went up.
Yeah.
I found a one-year-old Ford Transit high roof, and it was straight-up cargo van, nothing to it. And I've been making it ever since, just a little bit at a time. Built the bed, put the windows in so that it's got lots of light.
Yeah.
And it's everything kind of has multi-purpose. So my dining room turns into a bedroom. My front bench seat can pull out into another bed. Mm-hmm. So dad has one space, I've got another. We can travel together. I've got the kitchen with a deep sink so that I can wash my hair when I need to. And the faucet can spray outside.
Yeah, that's a great thing to do,
yeah. Yeah, because if I get sandy, you know, go to the beach, get sandy feet, yep. I don't want to bring it in the van. So all these little details, this is what I've been thinking about and doing. And it's just been a work in progress.
It probably will be forever.
It absolutely will be forever.
You're never on the last edition of building your van.
Yep. Exactly.
So why'd you guys come to Van Life? We're at Van Life now. Why'd you guys come to Van Fest? Why are you here specifically today?
Specifically today, I came to Van Fest because people bullied me into showing my van. As I walk through the building process, I'm in the process of loading the videos of how I built the van. I'm about a month behind on that. But my mm-hmm. family and friends, they were kind of like on a messenger or whatever, watching me as I was building. So they got to see what the final build was.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all like, so you're going to show it, right? I'm like, to who? Like, to people. Like, how? Like, this is my house. This is where I live. This is where I live and do my traveling. I like the fact that I'm stealth. I like the fact that nobody knows that I'm in here.
Yeah,
when I'm in here, right?
That's my favorite thing.
And so now you want me to just show people? that was in there. And so I didn't understand what they were saying. They're like, no, go to like Van Fest. I was like, what's a Van Fest? Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is my first time. Now, I knew about RTR, which I went to just prior to here. As a matter of fact, I only had 2 days from the time I touched down at my home base, Sticks and Bricks in Jacksonville, to get down to here. So it was like, okay, so this is actually, other than the time that I showed it at Quartzsite, which was only for 1 day, this is the only time that I've actually opened it up and showed it.
Oh, wow.
I started to build Hallow's Eve, so the day before Halloween, and I had to finish it prior to January 1, because that's when I left to drive to,
gotcha,
to Quartzsite. So 45 days to build it, and this is the first time I've actually shown it.
Well, sweet. It shows well. You've got no problem there.
Thank you. Thank you. During the pandemic, when I launched Trucker's Life, it was Trucker's Life was to help other truck drivers. I'm sorry. And so I also wanted to help other people that were traveling along the road for safety.
Yeah, that's
awesome. I am a safety instructor. I'm a 2 million mile safe driver.
Wow.
Out here on these roads, and I've been doing it for 31 years. But at the time that I wrote the book, I had been driving for about 25, 26 years. And it took me 10 years to come to the fruition that this book needed to be written.
Yep.
But it's called the HER method, H-E-R, and that's heed, execute, and respond.
Mm-hmm.
And what that is that it's a systematic way of doing things every time that trains you to always be safety aware. So after you do them so many times with repetitiveness, it becomes like second nature.
Yeah.
And it raises your heightens of self-awareness to keep you safe when traveling the highways and the byways. And so if you want to get it, you can Google my name, Lakeisha Martin.
And the link's in the show notes.
And it'll be in the show notes. And it's on Amazon.
Yeah.
And I think you can get the digital version for about $3 or $4.
That's not bad.
You know, if you guys want to. Yeah,
thank you so much. Whatever.
I guess I might have to turn these in.
I'll give you mine too. All right, tell me about your rig and how you got into this. Why you're here. Let's start over.
Some podcast that I've listened to for a while now, since I've been building, I was like, I looked up all these podcasts that had anything to do with van life, and I found yours.
Hmm.
And then you're talking about Van Fest.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And that was last year.
Yeah, the one I was supposed to come to and didn't.
But I was like, ooh, there's one on the East Coast, because I'm outside of Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
So East Coast, Florida is still a weekend travel.
Oh, sure, yeah.
I can totally do it.
Yep.
And so I came down here last year for the first time, and I just camped. And it was my first ever van life anything. So I'd taken my van out for travel, but I've never been in part of the community.
See, well, that's an interesting thing. There are people who, and I was one of these, who do van life without any of the community stuff.
Yeah.
The community stuff is optional, but boy, is there community. You do not have to be alone or be lonely out on the road if you don't want to. I mean, how many friends have you made here since, you know, we've been here for 2 days? How many friends have you made?
I have met so many people.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, I'm an introvert.
Me too.
I mean, I like people, but I'm not normally going out to meet them and talk to them. 90% of the people here are introverts.
I think so.
But everybody is so welcoming, and you just say hi, and all of a sudden it's like, I got friends for life now.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing. Everyone here is in the same WhatsApp group, and people say, oh, I need this, or I'm having trouble with this, and like then everyone jumps in and it's like, oh, I can help, and you know, problem is solved instantly. I'm old, all right? I'm 60 years old. I've been parts of many, many communities. This is, if not the most friendly, it's certainly in the top five most friendly communities I have ever been involved with. So tell me about your rig. You got it new during the pandemic, and then you built all that stuff in. Now, where did you learn the skills to build all that stuff?
I had no skills.
Ah.
I started from zero, but I had a dad.
Mm.
Who did not do the work, but I ran things by him when I was questioning.
Yeah.
And YouTube University.
Oh yeah, gotta love it.
I watch things religiously, and I'm like, rewind it to see how did they put that together, and how, you know, my bed is a bunch of slats that just slide.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So that I don't have to worry about. You know, I can just, I found that, how to do that on YouTube.
Yep.
And then I made it my own.
Yeah, you always have to make it your own. You're not going to get handed a recipe where you had 1/4 cup of screws and 2 inches
exactly.
of plywood. It's always going to be custom to what you're doing.
Exactly. And so I did it.
The purple one.
I did everything myself because I looked at having somebody else do it, and I'm too cheap. I can't do it. And I figured I can learn. Mm-hmm. Dad's like, you can learn. This is a circular saw. This is a jigsaw.
Yep.
This is how you do it. And so from there, I just started learning, and I had a blast. I just put in the floor, build the beds, build the front bench, and how do you do plumbing? I know everything about my electrical system.
Yeah, that's a big thing.
But my nephew, who's an electrician, actually did the work with me watching him.
Okay, that's good. So you knew you were safe.
Exactly. The one thing I didn't want to do is burn down my van.
Yeah, no, that's not a good time.
But I do know how to fix it. So I know where all the wires are. I know everything about it. Mm-hmm. So he just made sure it was right the first time.
Now, when you started this, I imagine you, like most people, were like, boy, I'd really like to do this, but it's so overwhelming. I mean, you're not a plumber or an electrician or a cabinet maker or a carpet layer or any of those things. How did you get the courage to say, wait, I can do this piece by piece?
I think, I am just too gosh darn cheap that I couldn't have somebody else do it. But B, I took it in small bites.
That is the secret. Yep.
And the biggest thing I learned is that the first trip I took in the van was the week I got it. Mm-hmm. I threw a mattress in the back, and I went up to Cherry Springs State Park in Pennsylvania, where it's dark skies.
Yep.
And that was my first trip, and it worked. And I'm like, okay. And then as the more I used the van, the more I understood how I would use the van.
Yeah.
And that changed some of my perspective. Did I want a full-time bed, or did I want a dinette? Well, I have kids that are grown, but they like to travel with me.
Oh.
And so I wanted them to be able to sit around and play games at the table. So I wanted a dinette that I could change, but I'm too lazy, so I didn't want to make it a project to change it from a dinette back to the bed. And
yeah.
So I made it so that the slats just pull out and I can drop it. It takes 10 seconds.
See, you've picked your priority and you stuck to that, and you're going to make everything else work around that.
Exactly.
That's a good way to do it. So now that you've built the van, and it's not done because no van is ever done.
It's a work in progress.
Absolutely. What are your long-term goals? Like, do you want to see every national park, or do you have anything like that?
In 5 years, I will retire from trucking.
Mm-hmm.
And then my kids will know where I am by looking on an app. Because I will be wherever the wind blows me and wherever the temperature is nice.
Chasing 70. Yeah, that is the guy who created the website, chasing70degrees.com, is here. And his website lets you plan that. Like, you can, it will tell you, like, if you're here a week from now, you can go to all these places and it'll be 70 degrees. So that sounds like a good life to me.
Yes. So, and one of the first things, well, maybe not the first thing, because my birthday's Christmas. I'll be 65 and on Christmas of 2030. So I think January 1st I should be off. I should retire at that point.
Perfect.
And so I'm probably not going to go north. So.
And see, she is going to talk.
I can't not talk.
All right. Hold on. Well, now you got to introduce yourself any way you want. You can pick any name, whatever you want. So.
Hi, I'm Lauren from Missouri, and I am in a minivan. Okay, good. Most of my travel now is like go, 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 because I'm on limited schedule, so I have to hurry up and get to the destination, see as many things as I can see, and then get back home.
Exactly.
And I'm ready to be at a more leisurely pace.
Yes, exactly.
And you're one of those, you're one of those rare East Coast van lifers who's never seen the West, which is a whole other world. Western van life, west of the Mississippi, say, is a different van life than east of the Mississippi. Just like driving a truck, it's different. I mean, you know, I am guessing you know I-95 pretty well at this point.
I could tell you every mile marker. Yeah. I know where every truck stop is.
Yeah, and then you get out west and you get on I-80 in Wyoming. It's like you're driving on Mars. I mean, the next town is 100 miles away. You see signs that say next gas 150 miles.
Oh, geez.
It's a totally different thing. Neither is better, in my opinion. But it's a lot easier to find places to sleep out west. I can tell you that. And where have you gone?
In my minivan, I have went... I haven't went west in my minivan at all.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I've been to Oregon and Montana, but not in van life.
I'm going to count Oregon as west.
It is, but not in... I haven't went in my minivan. Oh, okay, I flew there. Yep. Okay. So that's different travel.
Yeah.
No, so I've done a lot of the Midwest because I'm from Missouri. So sure. Missouri, Illinois, Tennessee, Florida. Yep.
And there's plenty to see there. I mean...
There is.
No doubt.
Well, and as we said earlier, you can find interesting things almost anywhere. So,
oh, my goodness, yes. Yeah,
it's awesome. I mean, I will say that till I'm blue in the face. If you give me your zip code, I will give you at least a weekend's worth of interesting things to see. And it's not that I'm some magical guru guy. It's just that I look. I was on another podcast recently, and they gave me that challenge. They came up with places that were so boring... that no one could ever find anything to do. And I found all kinds of crazy stuff there, and now I want to go visit, so.
Future Jeff breaking in here. The name of that podcast was Treasures of Our Town. And I will have a link to the pertinent episode in the show notes.
The flyover states, that's not really a thing. There's something interesting everywhere.
And that's the fun thing I find with having the van is I can go someplace... And I don't have to worry about it being on the beaten path. I can go off trail, find the weird things that nobody thinks about, and just explore and enjoy. And that's what I want. Like, I don't, when I go someplace, I don't want to be the tourist
with all the people.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's,
exactly.
There's a couple here, and their expression is, "Oh, going where the people aren't."
Yes.
Yes. I mean, I'm fine going where people are. Like, I like going into New York City, and van life in New York City. I'm not. I only go up for the day most of the time.
It can be done, but that's rough.
Yeah. Well, finding parking for the high roof is the biggest challenge.
Yeah,
so I most of the time, I'll park over at the Staten Island Ferry.
Mm-hmm.
And on Sundays, it's free out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then take the ferry over and just, take the subway, Uber, taxi cab, whatever, through New York. Come back, and I've got all my house with me then, and take my time. And it's just easier that way. But
yeah.
I like that stuff. But I also like when I went down to Savannah, I took this kayak tour down a...
Oh, fun.
It was awesome. And I parked at the boat ramp and just parked the van there because it was New Year's Day. And I had been in Savannah for the fireworks for New Year's Eve. And I'm like, well, I better get to the boat ramp because if I oversleep, at least I'm there. And so it was perfect. It was quiet as can be. And... It was just beautiful to wake up and you see some birds and some wildlife going on and just roll out of bed, roll into the kayak, and oh, I had the best time.
Yeah, and you brought up the very good point. The way to do van life in big cities is park. Use the local transportation. I mean, if you want to come to do van life in Chicago, I can tell you a whole bunch of places to park in Chicago.
I did that.
Yeah, yeah. But if you move, you're in trouble. You know, it's like you got to find that parking space and keep it, and then take the L or take the buses, go or walk, Don't think you're going to drive from place to place. And that's a funny thing, like out in the West, oh, we're going to drive to here, we're going to drive to... They don't even think about that. But in these big Eastern cities, you can't really do that. It's not like
Which
the movies where they
don't need
find
to.
The parking space right in front of the building they're going to. And you don't need to, that's true.
And that's the fun thing, because like the cities... They're set up for you to be able to walk to things and be able to just take the transport. You know, they're like Chicago's got that loop.
Yep.
And it's easy.
It's pretty easy, yeah. Earlier, we were all just chatting, and we all consider ourselves introverts. So would you say you're an introvert?
Introvert and extrovert. It depends on...
Ah.
You're on the spectrum.
Yeah, it just depends on my mood, I think. Because I very much like socializing, and I'll go up to anybody and introduce myself. But if I'm not in the mood for it, not feeling it, then...
That's it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, that makes a lot of sense. Someone once described it to me that introverts are people that have to expend energy to be with other people, and extroverts are people who get energy from being with other people.
Yes.
So I am definitely the first.
Yeah, I think there's some truth to that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe I'm. I really think I'm a little bit of both.
You're a well-balanced individual.
Nobody's ever said that to me before.
But it's interesting that van life people, I mean, so van life people is like that, though. It's like, it's the most introverted thing in the world to live in your vehicle that you have built out to your exacting specifications. It is literally for you. Everything in there is the way you want it. It's for you. It's like a very selfish thing, not in a bad way. And yet here we all are together in Florida. Some of us have driven thousands of miles to be here. I mean, why didn't we just get a hotel?
Well, and I love, this is my first van event, mm-hmm. but I love concerts and that type of social. But whenever I'm planning a trip, it's usually, I like hiking, I like kayaking, yes. I like the outdoors. And so if I'm planning a trip, it's usually a very introverted, more of an introverted planning, because I am usually by myself.
Mm-hmm.
But this is great, too.
Yeah, I mean, that's, van life is exact. It's life. Van life is just life.
Yes.
It's what you want. If you want, the schooly people here follow each other around all year round. They go from place to place. They have a community. They have kids. They go to school together. They, today we're going to go learn English in this bus, and we're going to learn French in this other bus. You know, that's a thing that they do. And then there's other people who will never, ever come to one of these events who've been living in their van for 10 years, and they don't have a YouTube channel. I met a guy this morning who 7 years ago, he turned off the news, and he avoids the news utterly and completely. He doesn't want to hear about it, doesn't want to hear anything about politics. He's created his own little bubble, and the way he can manage that is because he's in his van. You know, it's really a unique way of living where you get to set all the rules. I don't know. That's what I like. Since you've been wandering around here for a few days, what have you seen as far as interesting rigs go?
Okay, I haven't been able to visit that many rigs because I've been visiting with the people.
Okay,
that's
well,
the, best
the
part
people
of this
matter,
thing.
Yeah.
They do, and I love that, and I've really liked going to the seminars.
Yeah, they have talks here. I just did. I just went to one about women and van life. That was really interesting. You get women's perspectives, and van life is, it's interesting. If you watch YouTube, I feel like there are almost more solo female van life channels than anything else. And they do well. They're popular, and sometimes they're popular for bad reasons. But this is definitely not a male sport or anything like that. And there's couples, there's lots of men, and there's also lots of women.
Yeah. I think I've seen a lot of solo females. And maybe that's because I am one, and so mm-hmm. then maybe I'm drawn to them. But it's great.
Yeah, and it's... The talks today, some of the stuff was about, women have different challenges than men in van life as they do with regular life, and some of them are unfair challenges. But they're not stopping anybody. People are like, nope, can't do van life, I'm a woman. That is not a thing at all.
Maybe it is for some women. Maybe they do have that fear, and so they're not able to overcome it or don't want to overcome it. And so that's not something that they're comfortable with.
That's true. That is true.
But... like a lot of the women there said, trust your intuition, trust your gut.
Yeah, there was a whole lot of talk about trust your gut. And I'm a pretty science-based person. I don't do superstition and stuff. But the trust your gut thing is interesting because there's this concept of pre-consciousness, which means you noticed something, but you didn't really realize that you noticed it. It was just you vaguely caught something out of your eye, out of the corner of your eye, and... you didn't put two and two together, but the feeling that came with that is still there. And listening to that just means that, wait, I'm not getting vibes. What really happened is I saw something I didn't like, and I can't quite figure out what that was, but it doesn't matter. You saw something you didn't like, and taking action on that is probably smart.
Yeah.
And you're in a van. You get to drive away.
Exactly.
So in some ways, van life is a little safer for everybody. Because if you're in a bad situation, you can literally drive away.
I am very comfortable on the road because, mm-hmm. again, you're right. You can drive away. And even in a truck, where you can't always drive away right. because time limits and everything else, you're not allowed to drive after a...
That's right. You get 10 hours, right?
Exactly. Yep, 11 hours of driving.
Oh, 11. Okay.
And a 14-hour day. And then when that's up, you have to take 10-hour break, and you cannot stop that break.
Wow.
So when I go out, I'll just... I know certain places to park. I tend to like the rest stops.
Mm-hmm, me too.
Because the truck stops are very noisy, but certain times, that's all you got.
Yep.
But you just make smart choices when you're getting out and you're looking around. You make sure to notice things before going around and stuff, and you're fine. There's a lot of people, when I had talked about van life and when I started trucking, they're like, oh, aren't you going to be scared? One of my first things one of my friends gave me is a can of mace when I was in the truck. She's like, you're going to need this. I didn't ever need it.
You're probably not going to need it, but it can be nice to have. You know? Oh, there you go. Lauren just pulled out her own mace here, so which would be illegal in Canada, to be clear. We could talk about this. This came up at the women's thing. Is some people carry... I have bear spray.
Okay.
Sometimes I'm in bear country. I mean, you know. But the idea came up of maybe can you use bear mace on people? And someone said, well, you can't. It's illegal. And it is illegal. But if somebody's attacking you, I don't care if you're going to hit them with a clot of...
legal later.
Yeah, legal. Go ahead, get sued and be safe. I mean, you know, I'm not going to go quite the, you know, rather... what is that? Oh, rather... judged by 12 than carried by 6 or whatever the heck that thing. I mean, come on, we can be reasonable, but honestly, if someone's trying to attack me or something, I'm not going to think twice about using bear spray. And, you know, go. What are you going to do?
The mace or the wasp spray.
Or the wasp spray or anything.
Exactly.
Windex. I mean, whatever.
You fight back with whatever means you've got.
Yeah, exactly. And so, but to address this very clearly, in the U.S., pepper spray and mace are legal. They come in spray cans. They shoot a very long stream. You can get 20 feet, maybe. And you aim for their eyes, and then you get away.
Yes.
The whole point of this is so you get away. Bear spray is a little different. It doesn't spray the same way. Bear spray creates a cloud. And for bears, this works really well because it creates this orange cloud. And when the bear goes into the cloud, they have an object to avoid, which is that cloud, and they back away from the cloud. So if you would use it on a person, you would not use it that way because the cloud wouldn't really do anything. You actually have to spray it on them, and it's not really designed for that. But again, if you're attacked, who cares? And the big difference between bear spray and pepper spray, it's the same chemical, is that bear spray is legal in Canada. It is not legal to use it on people in Canada, but it is legal to have in Canada, whereas they will take your pepper spray and mace away. So, just to be clear on that. Yeah, that was how that discussion started, because somebody said they had pepper spray and it was taken away at the border. And when you cross into Canada, they will say, do you have any pepper spray? Because a lot of people do. And I usually don't, although I happen to right now because I found some in my hallway. It was just laying in the hallway of my apartment building. I'm like, okay, I'll pick that up because we have kids. And, you know. So, yeah.
The only time I've gotten the pepper spray out when I was out hiking was a wild boar and three little babies ran in front of me, and I don't know how well mace would work, but it was all that I had, so I grabbed that.
Yeah.
But that's the only time I've even felt a need to grab it.
Yeah, I agree. That is a situation where I would too. Honestly, most of the time with my bear spray, if something happened, I'd be like, where did I put that? I know it's in here somewhere. Rumble, rattle, rattle. You know. But for bears, it is actually really useful. More than a gun, believe it or not. You were more likely to live in a bear attack via bear spray than a gun, according to some studies. So, yeah, I'm always talking about fun topics here. And killing things and getting killed.
Yeah, I'd probably hurt myself with a gun.
Well, I'm not even going to address that topic. It is so complicated. That is, you know, I mean, I'll bring it up very quickly. Lauren is from Missouri. I am from Illinois. If she crosses the border with her gun and I cross the border with my gun, both of us could be illegal depending on a whole bunch of different things. It's so hard to keep track of stuff. So,
yeah.
All right. They're playing chess over there. All right, so let's do one last thing here.
Yes.
What should we? You guys are supposed to ask me questions. So I'm going to open the floor. You guys can ask me anything you want. Take, you know, because it's editing, we can do whatever we want. So any questions you have for me about any aspect of anything at all?
Well, I have a question for the group.
Okay.
Doesn't necessarily have That's to be fine. Just for you.
Yep.
But what kind of foods do you eat most on the road, and specifically non-cook items?
Oh, that's a great question. Okay, you want to? You got an answer?
Non-cook items are harder.
They are, but that's why I'm asking. Well,
and I like to have some snacky veggies and stuff. Like I like the baby carrots and the cucumbers and hummus and things like that. Now, do you have a fridge? Is the question.
So you don't...
I have an icebox.
Icebox, okay. No fridge is what we're talking about. Okay.
Cool.
Okay. Yeah. So you can keep things cold. Mm-hmm. So that matters the most. And that's where I do the veggies and things like that. And chicken is really good because you can eat that cold. You don't have to cook it, but it's also good hot if you happen to want to. And same with pork. Like my dad makes me pork chops or whatever and cuts them into tiny little strips, and I can sit and eat that while I'm on the road just cold. And it tastes delicious, and it's no cook. So as long as you've got a cooler. If you don't have a cooler, then you're more into the drier foods, like the nuts and things like that. And
nuts and twigs. twigs.
Or, you know, you can do, like, I'm not a bananas person because they will ripen way too much for me before I ever get to eat them. But, you know, but they're great for if you have, you want a snack on the road. They're high power snacks. And, you know, there's lots of different options.
One of the things I do, so I like to have a way to heat food and cool food. So I usually travel that way, but I haven't always. And so I've got a few strategies. One is that I will always try to eat out of the can. A lot of people think that's disgusting. I will actually, if I have a heat, like if I have a can of Progresso soup, I heat it and eat it out of the can. And I've done the research. People are like, oh, you can't do that because that can's not meant to be cooked in and you're releasing chemicals. You're not, because the temperature that they make the soup at is hotter than putting it on the stove. So I do that, and that saves cleanup. If I get a plastic fork, all I have to do is heat it up. Now, if I don't have a way to heat it up, one of the things I've done is those Hormel Complete meals. They're frozen dinners that don't need to be frozen. And you find them in the supermarket. And if it's a day like this, you put it in the dashboard and leave it there for 2 hours, and it's hot. And you don't have to do anything. You just open it and eat it. It's not the best thing in the world, but it's food. And then I also will do, like, sandwiches, but, like, specifically tuna fish. Because you need bread, tuna, and mayonnaise, and you can get mayonnaise packets that don't need to be refrigerated. And so none of it needs to be refrigerated. You have everything you need right there. So there's a lot of stuff like that. But one of the things I've noticed is that it's harder for people who don't like meat, because then they're relying on all these fresh veggies. And a lot of those really need refrigeration or they go bad quickly. But, you know, there are, like, an avocado can sit out. I'm never going to eat one, but I know some people do. Berries, strawberries, bananas can sit out, although you have to be careful in the van because, you know, they get banged up. Apples, of course, stuff like that. What the main thing I eat in the van when I'm out for a long time is stone soup. What is stone soup? You may have heard the parable of stone soup, where the traveler comes and doesn't have anything to offer the soup except the stone. And so he puts the stone in the pot, and then another villager comes and says, well, I have some carrots, and then so I have some potatoes, and they go on and on and on, and then they end up with this whole soup. So I make that for myself. I skip the stone part. But all I mean is that I don't buy meals, I buy ingredients. And then I just throw everything in a pot, whatever I feel like that night. I buy a whole bunch of compatible ingredients, and I make dishes that I will never make again. It's just what happened to be in there. And I've done this enough that I've learned that, like, oh, this is a little too salty, so I can add some balsamic vinegar to take that down. Or this doesn't have enough interesting flavor, so then I'll add some salad dressing, you know, and that'll beef it up a bit. You know, that kind of a thing. Why, thank you. What is this? Oh, someone just handed me a sticker. In fact, it was Darren of Darren and Karen, the rhyming duo, news aficionados.
Who's going to be with him
at 4 o'clock. We're going to be on stage at 4 o'clock. The AV here is about as janky as my rig. And he handed me a sticker that says, Community on the Road. Find crossroads.com. Oh, is the developer here?
Yes.
Oh!
Are you allowed to hand you these?
Oh, all right, hey. Apparently this is the read things on here. So I just got, this just in. Have you heard about the swarm on Route 66? join us in Pontiac, Illinois, May 2nd through 13th, 2026, for the 100th anniversary of Route 66. Show off your rig downtown May 2nd through 3rd, gather May 3rd through 13th at local fairgrounds, then head out in an optional small caravan down Route 66, a Centennial certified event. Get your kicks on Route 66 with the Schoolie Swarm folks. Register now at www.schoolieswarm.com. And as a resident of Chicago, I must point out that if you do not start at the Art Institute, you are not seeing all of Route 66. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Can I take a picture of one of those?
Absolutely.
Yeah, actually, that sounds like a fun event. These guys, first of all, the Schoolie Swarm people, I have never done Schoolie Swarm, but they are here. And they are some of the most awesome, coolest people ever. When I first came to VanFest 2 years ago and I didn't know anybody and I was just like this weird guy in the ambulance, they were like, hey, come have dinner. You know, they were just like instant family. It was amazing. So I don't know if I'm going to be able to do the whole event, but I might be able to get down there in May and visit some folks. And as a matter of history, this guy built out the most crazy double-decker schoolie ever, and it is parked in Pontiac, Illinois, and you can tour it. And this thing, I mean, this is like the mother of all schoolies. It is insane, and it's permanently parked there. So anyway, you never know what's going to happen at VanFest. You just sit here with a microphone, and people show up, and stuff happens.
Nice. So and then I heard you say that we invited you into our little potluck the first year.
Yes, yeah, you did. That's 2 years ago. Yeah, nice. It was over there. I was in Ivan was parked there.
Yeah.
And then I can't remember their names, but they had the school bus that was cut in half that had the Jeep on the back.
That was me.
That was you. Yeah. Okay, so it was you guys. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you have a new rig this year.
I do.
Yes.
Yellow.
Yes.
Yeah. In front of
And I talked with your husband and we went under the hood and played around with stuff and yeah.
That's awesome.
This is my event that I want to come to every year because of you guys.
Aw, nice. Yeah. Thanks.
And
thanks.
So who does Schoolie UP now?
Jennifer and Frank.
Okay, yeah. And they're not here this year.
No, they've never been here.
Oh, they've never been here?
No.
Oh, so some of you guys just went there.
Yeah, we go.
Oh, okay.
They came to our third event in 2020, gotcha. And they were like, we want to do this. And we were like, do it. And they were like, all right, we're going to do it up there. And I said, but you can't call it Schoolie Swarm.
Right. Of course not.
So they do it in Schoolie UP up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan.
Yeah, and I'd seen being from Chicago, I have no excuse not to go
you
to that.
None.
Other
Seriously.
Than I'm never home anymore.
Yeah, I get it. And it is beautiful up there, too. And they put on a really good event. It's like super summer camp for families.
And to be clear for anybody listening, Schoolie doesn't mean you have to have a school bus.
No.
You have to have something.
Yes.
They don't care what it is. It started with Schoolie people. Schoolie people are their own breed of van life, but they're the open breed. If you've got a rig, it's a Schoolie as far as they're concerned.
Welcome. Come with us. Yep. Awesome.
Well, cool. Thank you for stopping by.
Yeah, absolutely. You can blame Bruce. He was like,
good job, Bruce.
Jeff, right?
You know what you're doing. Bruce knows what's going on.
He's like, if you don't know him, you need to know him.
All right, my batteries are getting low, so let's do this one last question.
Okay,
so you're going to give it to Lauren?
Actually, she gave it to me.
Oh, okay. You ready? Okay, so, all right, go ahead.
So you've talked a lot on your podcast about traveling solo.
I'm sorry, say that again.
You've talked a lot on your podcast about traveling solo, going everywhere, here, there, and now.
Yeah.
Have you ever really traveled in a caravan with anybody anytime?
I have, but not... I have, but not as part of van life and only in camping groups on a limited basis. I don't like traveling in a group on the road. I'm perfectly fine with like, okay, everyone go to this campground, we'll meet at 4 o'clock, get there when on your own time. I'm fine with that. But if I'm in a line of traffic following people, that is not my thing. I want to be able to stop when I want to and drive the speed I want to and all that. So, but for other people, they think, and the Army does this, you know, it's a safety thing.
Yeah.
Everyone drives as fast as the slowest vehicle. We're all going to stick to the speed limit. You know, that's so fine. But that is a thing, right? I mean, people do that. I mean, I just read you the ad for one. If that sounds like fun to you, where you're in this group of 10 or 12 vehicles, you're all going at the same speed. If anyone has a problem, everybody stops to help them out. You talk to each other with radios or if you have whatever. I mean, how do you guys communicate in those? Have you done one?
I've honestly not been in a caravan before, but I hear it's fun. But I also hear it's easy to get separated if you have too many vehicles. So we're going to try and keep it at like five or less.
So you can, like, buddy system kind of thing. Like, you guys stick together. Yeah.
Yeah.
And rendezvous point. points. You don't have to stay.
Well, on Route 66, you got to stop at like the Rabbit Ranch, and then you got to get a corn dog at the corn dog. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, all the things. Yeah. Yeah. And we're going to try and partner people together that are like similar traveling styles.
Yeah.
So you're a late riser. You eat mostly in your van.
Great.
You love eating out all the time. You know, you want to stop at all the things. You want to stop at a couple of the things. Like, let's get those people that it'll be the most enjoyable experience. Together.
And you might also have the, well, you've got a brand new short wheelbase Sprinter, and you've got a 1964 school bus.
Right.
You might be going at different speeds.
Right. Right. Do you want to go 45 on the hills?
Yeah, okay. Right.
Stick with the old guy. Yeah.
All right, folks, we're just about out of battery, but thank you, everybody, for participating. I really appreciate it, and I hope to see you at another VanFest event sometime in the future.
Awesome.
Thank you. Sounds good.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
So I hope you enjoyed that. There is another interview session coming that I will get published as soon as I edit it. That involves some other folks, and it's just as interesting and perhaps even a little bit more in depth. Also coming up, I have an interview with an RV tech, an extensive interview where we talk about all kinds of things and answer your questions that you sent me. Also, I am working on doing another interview, and no, this is not turning into an interview podcast. This has just all happened at the same time. With a couple of women, one of whom is an experienced solo van lifer, and the other who is, well, worried about it. And I'm going to have a conversation with them and talk about their concerns and some possible solutions and perception versus reality. So that is coming up too. Thank you for listening. If you need to get a hold of me, I am Jeff at BuiltToGo.com. That's two T's, not three, not one. And music, as always, is by Simon Wagg. I hope to catch you down the road.